Welcome to this session of Dum Dum Die, an all-female, all-awesome cast of ladies that enjoy our D&D. Before we get into it, this is an interactive D&D session, so if you want to, like, help or hinder the players or the DM, please don't do that, because, you know, I've got stuff that needs to happen. Then you can type it in chat, or if you don't feel like typing, just below the chat box there's a thing that says channel points, so you can spend some of your channel points on various effects that'll help or hinder or just cause some really crazy mayhem for everybody involved.
As jeez.
Nuts.
Like freaking 500 bits, guys. 500 bits.
Wow.
That's
very
nice.
Wow, that person really wants a rave, man.
5 second dance party? Let's do it. 5, 4, 3. 2, 1, go! Back to our regularly scheduled D&D session. So last time, you guys were running away from a very disadvantageous fight from a revenant, and it didn't seem like however much distance you got away from this thing, you didn't seem to be actually getting away from it, because it had formed some sort of psychic link with one of the party members, and it kept hounding you, if not in person, at least mentally. You guys ran away from the site, crossed over the mountain, really tired, some exhaustion points were racked up, and on the other side, you ran into something much, much worse, just as evening started setting in, and through some clever use of spells and some unfortunate use of spells, you both managed to attract its attention and successfully hide from it. Good for you. After some very, very nerve-wracking moments, you managed to slip away, mostly undetected, and make a dash for the tree line. And Nelly used one of her succeed at all cost inspiration points to escape a very crucial point in the chase, and made your way into the forest and successfully made your way to the edge of what was Il-Uranos. The party had just sat down to take some much needed rest when they were ambushed again by the revenant coming out of the tree, this time with a little bit more assistance than he had before. Victory seemed a little elusive for our party members. So just as things looked like it was taking an absolutely terrible turn, the sound of wings slightly behind you turn your attention to a floating rock, two little wings beating out of it. And then this grey lump of flesh opens up this eye as several other tentacles start crawling out from behind it, also opening smaller little eyes. It looks at the party and then turns its gaze to the undead creatures crawling through the forest, and you can immediately see this frown on its eyelid, and that's where we're going to start today. So we've rolled for initiative last time, I've jotted it down, and what you guys are seeing is you are in a small clearing, and there is a little tree line, and the undead have crawled through it. You are at the edge. Behind you is the ruins of Il-Uranos. On a slightly slanted platform going up, there is rocks and debris and stuff behind you that is just as a natural result of this thing crashing and, like, stuff falling down, and then just, it's a mess. A largely overgrown mess at this point in time, but it's a mess nonetheless. Daphne, just you and Amandla, who's got the higher dex?
Ooh, it's probably Daphne.
I'm on 19.
And what's your dex, Amandla?
13.
Okay, so the revenant looks at the three of you, and he's gone a little pale as he sees this thing behind you. And you hear this audible snarl from this thing as it grits its teeth and then yells out, "I don't care! I want them! Get them!" So he is going to rush up. He is going to take a swipe at you, Daphne, with his fist. Does a 11 hit?
No. I'm going to do a cat wiggle. Do that fluid motion thing where nothing can hit you.
He's going to take another hit at you. Does a 15 hit?
It does. I want to use uncanny dodge as a reaction to half the damage. Just so long, because I know how much damage this thing does.
After your half damage, you take 5 bludgeoning damage. You can smell the putrid breath of this thing breathing down your neck as it exposes its teeth and this ugly rictus of vengeance against you. Daphne, you're up.
So, spoiler alert, I play Daphne, the tabaxi rogue. I'm a level 5 rogue. Just for the hell of it, because I haven't used this. I want to whip out my sharp, shiny, neat little cat claws, and I want to jab it in his eyes. It's right in my face, I'm going to blind him.
Do me an attack roll.
Oof. Ugh. It's a 9.
So you claw this thing. It manages to just whip its head to the side as your claws, and you rake a little bit off on the side of its chin. There's a little scratch mark going there. It flakes a little bit as your claws rake off some dead skin.
Ugh. I'm going to hiss in disgust at this thing, and then I want to disengage from it.
Okay. The 3 ghosts rush up to the floating eyeball. That, if you don't know yet, it's a beholder. And they start hitting and scratching. But even in the dark, you see that their claws are not really getting purchase on this skin. The skin is quite tough. And one of them manages to land a little bit of a scratch below the eye, which causes the beholder to twitch a little bit back. You feel this psychic emanation coming from it, as it expresses pure anger. Amandla, what are you doing?
Okay, yeah, so first let me introduce myself. I play a tiefling who is an artificer first, bard in the making, level 5 in total. And how far am I from Daphne and the Revenant?
You are about 5 feet. You guys are really close. But Daphne disengaged, so Daphne moved away from you now, so she's probably around 10 or 15 feet away from you.
I think what I'm going to do, because I've been walking around with my eyes closed for such a long time, and all this happened, I had to open my eyes, and I'm still kind of disoriented. So I'm going to just, like, almost blindly grab onto my one dagger, and almost out of shock, like, like a slash at the Revenant. It's almost like an instinctual thing where I don't know what to do, I'm so scared, and I'm freaked out, and this guy's been in my head for so long, I'm just going to just do a little stabby.
Okay.
I'm going to try to trust D&D Beyond the one time, see what happens. Oh, the 16 hit?
A 16 does unfortunately not hit. You just randomly take this slash at this thing. You manage to hit it, but the old decrepit armor that it's wearing basically scores and makes this knife mark on it as you do no actual damage to the Revenant. It does turn its head towards you and say, found you.
I'm gonna just ready my dagger to, like, prepare myself, like, just, like, in case it tries anything. This ends now. You need to get out of my head, and I'm almost still subconsciously touching the back of my head.
Okay. So, as you're doing this, one of the little eyeballs on the beholder starts shining in this purplish, blackish light as all of a sudden this beam erupts out from it onto one of these ghosts. And as it hits this ghost just leans back in sheer pain as its skin and flesh and bone and everything just crumbles away as it disintegrates.
Okay, that escalated.
Shayra.
Hello, I'm playing Shayra, and I'm a tiny goblin wild magic sorceress. So I have a question. The way that everybody's positioned right now, does the Revenant overlap with the ghosts, or is the entire group within the same sphere, let's say.
You would be on the farthest right, and a little bit in would be Amandla and the revenant standing next to it. Then just off to the side is Daphne, and a little bit off to the left there is the two ghosts now and the beholder.
Am I allowed to use sorcery points to center a spell effect? Like, can I target my spells to hit only those people?
As far as I know, only the wizard can do that. It's called sculpting spells. The specific meta magic options that you chose, Shayra, it doesn't have the ability to protect your teammates. So I'm going to say no, you cannot sculpt your spells.
Sorry, guys. I'm going to hit everybody then. So this is what I wish to do. I wish to cast a third level erupting earth. So essentially, I want the whole space of ground to just go whoosh up into the air. It's a 20-foot cube. The dex save is 12.
Did you make the roll?
Ooh, it's okay. The roll is fine.
Okay, so remember to add another one to the tick there. Okay, and dex saves.
It's a 16 on my side.
14!
Okay, so I have one failure, one success, and one failure.
If you failed, you take 19 points of damage. If you pass, it's half of that. A creature takes 3d12 bludgeoning damage on a failed save, or half as much on a successful one. And the ground is now disturbed.
So the ground churns underneath your feet, and all of a sudden there's this eruption as rocks and pebbles and pieces of soil just fly into the air. A lot of you manage to duck and dive out of the way, and you take a little bit of damage, but it could have been worse. One of the ghosts, however, the closest one, doesn't get out of the way, and these chunks of earth just tear literal, for better lack of a better word, chunks out of its body as these rocks just go flying through it. But oddly, there's just this thick blackish tar like substance flowing out of its wounds. No actual blood. Two of the eyes on the beholder look at you, Shayra, and you can see they're also like frowning.
I'm holding on to the ground because, like, when I cast Erupting Earth, I'd put my hands on the ground. I'm holding onto the ground very tightly while this eye is frowning at me.
One of the two eyes looking at you lights up, and just as this effect is about to erupt on you, hear a voice from the darkness saying, "Squint, no, not that one." And the eye, like, stops, and it takes on this greenish tint, and it hits you, Shayra, and you heal for 36 damage.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So all of these eyes, they turn inward and they focus on this thing in front of it that gets carved like out of thin air as this blade of holy radiance is formed, and this thing slashes right into the shade in front of it. It hits, and this shade, it starts erupting light from its pores as a moment later it just completely fizzles and turns into dust.
That is so cool. But Shayra is looking at the beholder, you know, with watery eyes. You know that emote that has watery eyes? Like in the anime when you're doing thank you and you're pouting and your eyes are just like watering and shiny.
Out of the darkness, an older woman steps into what remains of the light. She looks at the three of you and she walks over to you, Amandla. And she puts a hand on your shoulder and you feel this invigorating rush of energy course through you as you heal for 35 points of damage.
Oh, wow.
The revenant sees you heal up, Amandla, and it is very, very pissed. It renews its attacks with vigor, trying to kill you. And yeah, it's going to hit you. 23. As this thing starts clawing at you, you see that the damage it sustained from the rocks just seals up and fades back to nothing. Okay, so it hits you for 24 points of bludgeoning damage.
I was like revigorated for a minute, and then I'm now looking very peaky, guys. My grip on my dagger is getting kind of loose.
It is going to hit you with its other fist for a 9. So that's gonna miss. That comes back up to Daphne. Daphne, what are you doing?
Okay, I have an important question. Did I see that the beholder aimed at Shara, and do I realize that it healed her?
Yes, you saw that it aimed at Shara. Do me a perception check with disadvantage, obviously, because you're still tired.
That's a nat 1.
It definitely looked like the beholder attacked Shara.
I'm gonna hiss to anyone in general, I really wish I had my daggers on me. And then I'm gonna fling myself at the beholder and try and claw its eyes out because it's attacking my party members.
Okay, do an attack roll.
Does a 14 hit?
You try and stab the beholder. One of its tentacles with a little eye just bats your arm out of the way.
I'm a very tired tabaxi and I really need my weapons, guys. It's not fun fighting with your claws. Well, that's me. I'm just going to stand there and pant for a little bit because I am exhausted.
So as soon as this little eye bats your hand away, one of its other eyes focuses on the revenant, and that same black beam shoots out of its eye, that blackish purple beam, and it hits the revenant, and you can see this beam like scores the revenant heavily, and it does a lot of damage to the revenant itself. The revenant, after the beam dissipates, is panting heavily, but it's still standing. The one ghast that's left is clawing desperately at this beholder, and it manages to land a hit, and the beholder's eyes immediately turn to it. And a slightly yellowish, greenish beam emits from its eyeballs. And you can see this frantic clawing that this thing just immediately stops mid-swing as the ghast is, like, trapped. Amanda, what are you doing?
Well, I'm pissed at this revenant. I am going to go at it with my full might at this point. I'm going to go with, like, double-handed on the one dagger and just rush it. Okay, double-handed, like, the one is gripping onto the handle, and the other one's, like, the back of the hilt. You know, I'm gonna try to, like, put full force into this dagger.
Okay, make me an attack roll.
5 does not hit. I know it doesn't.
Daphne yells, Amandla, remind me to show you how to use that.
You decide you wanted to put some real oomph behind this stab, but the dagger feels a little clumsy in your hands. You take this, okay, this looks right, and you push. And even in its tired state, the revenant just leans a little back and you completely miss.
I can imagine myself almost like tripping past it or something, right?
Yeah. So you almost fall into it as you overextend.
Can I at least do like a somersault tumble or something to try like right myself up?
Do me an acrobatics check. Obviously with disadvantage because you're also tired.
16 at disadvantage.
You stumble almost into the ghast and you take this little sidestep and you manage to just lean out of the way as this thing takes this lazy swipe at you.
I'm still awkwardly holding on to my dagger. I maintain eye contact. I'm going to almost growl at it saying, I am going to kill you. I don't know how, but I'm going to kill you.
Okay, Shara.
I have still got anime eyes for the beholder. So I am going to cast Create Bonfire on the ghast that is currently being held.
Sure.
We are good. The deck save is 12.
It automatically fails because it can't move.
6 points of fire damage.
There is the sudden burst of light as the highly flammable ghast lights up from this bonfire. It is frozen. It can't even screech in pain as the flames just lick up from its feet as it takes a lot of damage. A moment later, the flames you produce just die out again. The ghast is still frozen there, mid-swing. Can't do anything.
Shara's gonna blow a raspberry. Like, out of character, I'm saying, suck it! But in character, I'm just blowing a raspberry.
After you do that, the one eye of the beholder is going to turn on this ghast. There's this darkish blue with a white outline on the eye that starts glowing. And you see this white outline starts glowing around the ghast as the ghast is lifted up into the air. And then with tremendous force, it lobs this thing right into the revenant. The revenant gets hit by this projectile. It is just hands and feet as it tumbles back. You can do me an attack of opportunity if you wish.
Hell yes. Watch me. I'm going to be like, what? Stabby. There's a 19 hit.
It does hit as you take this little cheeky little swipe at it as it's sent tumbling from this petrified ghast. Do me damage.
2 points of piercing damage.
Amandla, as you ponder the puny freaking damage your dagger is doing, the main eye of the beholder, the big one, starts shining with this very soft golden light. It sheds that light over you and Shara, and as it looks at you, you feel this bolster in confidence. All of a sudden, you can just take on anything. It feels like, whew, damn, this is a good day. Reroll your damage for me, please.
I'll give it 4 points of piercing damage. It's puny, but it's more.
Okay. You also have advantage on your attack rolls while you're in that light.
Thank you.
Shara, what are you doing?
Because now I'm super confident that I make the best bonfires in the land, I am going to create bonfire under the revenant. The deck save is 12.
It rolled a 12. Okay, so as soon as your fire starts coming out of the ground, the revenant very wearily just sidesteps. You can see, Amandla, it is about to try and run away.
I was about to be upset, but then I realized that was a damn good bonfire.
Can I yell something?
Yeah.
Because I can see it's going to try to run away. It's like, he's trying to get away. We can't let him get away. I can't have him in my head again. We need to take him down now.
You hear the woman say, he won't get away.
This chick sounds just as scary as the Revenant, actually.
So just as the Revenant turns around, the beholder's one eye looks at the Revenant, and it creates this very soft blue light that hits the Revenant. And you can see the Revenant starts stumbling, and it just tips over. It's asleep.
Oh, thank the gods.
The woman, walks over to the Revenant, and she puts her hand on the soil next to the Revenant, and as she does so, you can see some vines crawl up, snap over this Revenant, and the Revenant turns into this dry husk, as it looks like whatever life essence was left in the Revenant gets drained away, and it gets pulled into the soil, and the soil just closes over it. Daphne.
So none of this. I'm flinging myself at the beholder because it's going to kill Shara. Going well, guys. Don't worry, I'm going to live. Does a 16 hit the beholder?
You continue your stabbing motions at the beholder. The beholder is like, no. Getting past these tentacles is proving to be extremely annoying.
Blindly clawing at him. In the back of my mind going, damn, I wish I had an actual weapon.
Amandla, what are you doing?
Well, I'm in awe of this stranger who's just, demolished what was left of the Revenant. So I am going to cautiously, not walk towards her, I'm going to walk around her, hands up to show I mean no harm whatsoever.
You notice that Daphne is still attacking the beholder.
Oh, gosh. I'm going to yell out, Daphne, the beholder is on our side. The beholder is helping us. What are you doing?
You crazy and attack Shara. Just come help me.
It helped Shara. It helped me. It's gonna maybe help you one day if you stop fighting it. Him, her, I don't know. Them?
I'm gonna glance over my shoulder long enough to just give her this intense look and go, are you hearing voices again?
As she says that, you hear in your mind, Amanda, you hear, thank you.
Don't do this to me. I'm going to whirl around rapidly. Who said that? And I'm looking at the ground where the Revenant was. It's dead. Why is it? And I'm gonna look at the strange lady. Do you see something? Can you see something? I can still hear something.
The woman looks at you like, and she just kind of points to the beholder. You can see the beholder, all of its eyes are like, is looking at you right now, Amanda.
I'm gonna slightly cautiously calm down, but I'll look at the beholder. From now on, ask for consent. I don't want any more voices in my head. And that was an intrusion. And I'm still like cautiously touching the back of my head.
The woman, she sighs a little bit and she says, unfortunately, that is how Squint communicates.
Shara is going to squee when she hears Squint. She's going to squee and she's going to do a little runny jump to give the beholder a very sticky hug. And then she's going to say at its giant eye that she's trying to hug, don't worry, Amandla's really mean. And I think she kind of had an obsession with that guy that just got eaten by those plants.
I had a what? A what now?
He was like on your mind all the time. Like, I don't know what was happening. I'm just like, everywhere I go with Amandla, she's weird. Maybe it's a celebrity thing. Maybe like all celebrities are eccentric.
Shara, you hear in your mind the voice of the beholder say, that's fine, little one. And these little tentacles come and gently dislodge you and put you back on the ground.
I am just so pleased. It didn't even say you. And I didn't even notice it spoke to me in my mind.
I want to go to the remnants of the revenant, though, and I want to kick at what's of the dirt and all that. I won't take out my pheromone because it doesn't deserve it, but I'm going to do like a little murmur. So long, Dreg. I knew you way too long, and I hope you die again and again and again. And I'm almost like stomping on the ground now. Like,
it has returned to the earth. What are you doing?
He tormented me for so long. I'm just so happy it's gone. And I wanted to set it a parting curse word or two. So long, bleep. I knew you too long, bleep. And you've been tormenting for so long, bleep, and I'll never go on thinking of you again, bleep.
Daphne, what are you doing now that you're... Are you still attacking the poor beholder, or...?
Shara just gave it a hug. I'm just gonna like... What? What the hell is this thing? Poke it in the eye and then go, and who the hell is that? And what is going on? I'm just gonna sit down for a second.
This thing is called Squint, and I'm looking at it very carefully because I want to look at which eye is the one that has a squint.
There's one of them that is squinting because it just got poked.
That eye, that's the one with the squint. I'm nodding knowingly to myself, like, yeah, that's a good name.
I'm just going to sit on the ground and stare around us like, okay, what other crazy thing is about to attack us? I'm so over this.
I want to turn towards the woman and ask her, who are you and why did you, thank you, but why did you save us? And who are you?
I suppose an introduction is in order. I am Andromach. Welcome to the ruins of Il-Oranos.
Okay, that's great.
And who might I be talking with?
Oh, and I'm going to straighten my posture up and make sure my theremin is still attached to me and say, I am Amandla Olim of the Olim family. I'm just trying to figure it out, to be honest. But we're meant to meet someone here, and we're trying to... I'm going to like kind of look at Daphne. Well, and then look at Shara.
Hey, don't give away so much information. We don't know this person.
And then I'm going to put my hand up and say, we're going to the pubs. That's the thing. We are doing a traveling tavern crawl.
Well, unfortunately, there are no other people here. So I suppose I'll show you to my abode where you can stay the night. It's at least safer than out here.
No. We're not following you somewhere.
I'm already like, no, 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 no.
Shara!
You're welcome to stay out here, but I normally have to regrow this piece of forest after the Nightwalker has been here.
Is that that big creature?
Correct.
I'm following. After that experience we had with that big ominous creature that almost killed us multiple times, I look at Daphne. We can trust that that person is strong enough to keep us safe and maybe not tell them everything, but enough to keep us safe. And I'm going to gesture my hands out towards Daphne.
Amandla, why would this random person help us who is stronger than that crazy thing that's been chasing us for who knows how long? They want something. They want something from us. We don't have the energy to fight anymore.
I don't have trust issues like they do, so I'm already gone.
I'm sorry. I couldn't help but overhear. I am unfortunately not stronger than that thing out there. Hence the reason why I say, let's please go, because I and Squint, with helping, cannot deal with that beast, if you would follow me.
Why are you eavesdropping? If either of them make a move, we make a run for it. Amandla, do you hear me? We're gonna make a run for it.
Okay. I'm trying to play, say, Daphne. Okay, we'll make a run for it, but right now, we can't run anywhere because we're too tired. And if I have to choose between that nightcrawler and the dangerous druid, I don't know. But right now, I just need to rest. And I think you're beyond delirious, so you definitely need to rest. Let me just take my hand, put your paw into my claw, and let's go.
Fine, but if they look at us wrong, I'll do something.
After you rest.
Since they're holding hands, I'm also going to hold hands. I'm going to hold hands with Squint, and I'm going to tell him about the pig and mud and how next time he should come to the pig and mud with me, because that place is really, really exciting. It's the best tavern that I've been on this call.
The beholder is just like floating after Andromach, and he is, it genderless, is very patiently listening to you rant, and every now and then it'll just bob forward as it kind of nods at your story. Andromach leads you into the ruins of Il Oronos. The buildings there have been pretty much devastated. There's a few half-ruined buildings still sort of intact. A lot of the houses and the walls have been broken, left in rubble. Everything is slightly slanted, skewly, as it's not level anymore. And it looks like everything was built at an angle like this as you walk through the streets. You come to an area a little bit deeper in where you find the most curious scene that for a moment defies logic a little bit, as there's these softly yellow glowing orbs that lights this area up between the buildings, some of the taller buildings that are left. And between them, there have grown some very big trees and some vines between these trees. And some of the thicker branches have been carefully woven into this elevated position. You find some very beautifully carved or crafted stairs on several of the tree trunks leading up to this higher elevation. And Andromach wearily starts climbing these steps, and Squint's just following, floating behind Andromach.
I'm excitedly following, jumping from step to step, slowly, because I'm tired.
I'm pretty tired, but I'm all on to Daphne to make... I'm still worried that Daphne, that you're going to try and make a run for it. So I'm tiredly, like, dragging my body up and also still try to keep a firm hold on to Daphne as well as I continue going up and following the rest of the party.
So as you get to the platform, you find that the house that is there is woven from vines and trunks and leaves. And going inside, that soft ambience you can see is all over the place, creating this very softly lit environment. It's nothing fancy. There is like a beautifully carved and grown table on the one side, and there's a couple of rooms, and you can see through one of the rooms there is what looks to be a very soft bed grown from like moss. Andromach leads you in, and she goes over, and there's a little counter that she's grown, and she walks over to what looks to be a little bonfire, and with a little snap of her finger, the bonfire lights up. She turns and then is, oh, right, turns and then does this gesture in the air as this globe of water forms and then dumps into this little pot that's on the bonfire.
Oh, wow, my eyes are so wide. Oh my gosh, nature magic is so cool. I'm like just staring at everything, all the furniture, the fact that she conjured water out of the air. And I'm thinking, how can I do that? I've actually sat down to think. So I'm sitting down like a small child when they sit in a story ring. My legs are crossed and I'm sitting down on the floor, like randomly in the middle of the room.
I'm going to wait until her back is turned and then I'm going to snoop around for like weapons or anything to prove that this is a dangerous person that's lured us to a dangerous place.
Sure, you can do me an investigation check with this advantage.
I'm going to let go of Daphne's hand and just like tiredly just like, you know what, she followed us in, I don't care anymore.
You snoop around, you don't care who sees you. But you're looking into the rooms, you find a whole bunch of beautiful plants and leaves and some flowers. The one room actually has this lovely lavender scent that is actually quite pleasing to you, but no weapons.
Gonna start purring, rub my head against the lavender plants and then just curl up there and fall asleep. Be like, okay, I forgot what I was doing, I'm too tired.
I'm going to go follow Andromach and just watch her as she works. And I'm going to sit next to Shayra and just like watch her as she's in wonder and maybe feel like this might be safe. This I might be okay to feel comfortable.
So after she puts the water in the little pot, she turns around. She sees the two of you sitting on the floor. She's, apologies. I'm normally alone. And she makes a gesture on the one side of the table and a gesture on the other side of the table, and these roots and vines start curling up and they start forming a couple of chairs around the table. So she gestures and says, please sit.
Thank you. I don't mean to impose, but do you perhaps have any spare beds? We've been for a lot and I think lying down would be great.
Yes, I would offer you some refreshments, but maybe before you go to bed, just why are you here?
When you're like on the chair, then you stand on the chair, then you sit on the chair, then you sort of move yourself around.
We came to look for someone, and it's a lot to explain, and I still don't know if we can trust you, but we're here to look for someone, and we need to get to the Port of Stars.
I see. As I've said, it's just me and Squint here. There's no other people. Unless you count the folk in the graveyard now. If you don't mind me asking, who are you looking for? Maybe they come by. I get visitors every now and then. Most of them, of course, run off when they see Squint, but...
Can I roll insight?
Yeah, go for it.
I'm going to say, I can't imagine why they would run away from Squint. His eyes are so pretty.
Well, I am not sure either. Squint has been nothing but a loyal companion to me all these years.
Yo, I got 17.
So you realize that the questions are just out of curiosity. There's no deceit or alternate intent behind them.
I'm going to look towards where Daphne has disappeared to, and I'll look at Shayra, who's still very much focused on her chair, and I'm going to let out a huge sigh and say, this might sound crazy, but we're looking for the former prince and King Aloran.
Oh, that one. Yes, he's currently in the Port of Stars. Hasn't seen fit to come and visit me out here. I suppose if you're heading that way, please give him... You know, I think we'll discuss this in the morning after you've had some rest. But I have a request of you, if you don't mind.
I can't promise anything, but we are indebted to you, so we will try.
Well, like I said, we can do this in the morning. I really can't leave you like this. She turns around and she walks over and she starts pouring like a couple of cups starts flavoring them with some leaves, and goes over to a little storage area that she has, and comes out and puts down a couple of pieces of what looks to be bread. And she puts down the cups in front of you and says, "Please, nourish yourselves. And do you think we should wake up your companion?"
I'm chewing. My mouth is full of bread. I'm like, because we need to tell her. And I'm talking with my mouth full. Like, we need to tell her about this new tavern. It sounds so fancy. Former Prince King Alarin. I mean, I've never been to the Port of Stars, but this tavern sounds amazing.
Shara, please focus on your meal and maybe chew some more, okay? Maybe chew. I think she needs her rest, and I'm gesturing generally towards where Daphne disappeared to. I think she'll be in a better state of mind to talk after she's had some rest.
Well, I just personally found it that you rest a little better if you're resting on a full stomach, you know? It's just been my experience.
I'm going to wake Daphne up because I 100% trust this woman. She's magical. She's powerful. She knows everything. Amandla's crazy half the time. This other woman has wonderful taste. She's been a longtime companion to Squint, who seems to be like a lovely, lovely gentleman. She has good taste. She's really strong. She's got nice bread. I'm going to go and wake Daphne up. I'm actually going to take a piece of bread and I'm going to take it to Daphne and I'm going to like put it in her face. Daphne bread.
I'm going to kind of bat it out of the way and then look up to see Shara and go, "What? Did I fall asleep? What's happening?"
"Look, bread!"
"Yeah, okay. That, oh, why is it sticky? It's bread! It's not supposed to be sticky!"
And then I'm gonna look at my hand that isn't holding bread, and then I'm going to show it to Daphne to show her that it's not sticky.
Yeah, I'm just gonna press the digitation myself and then the bread. And then the goblin, and then go, okay, that's a horrible way of waking up. Why? Where's Amanda? We need to go. We need to leave."
"Oh no, we're having bread," and I'm looking at my hand, which is now even less sticky than it was originally. I'm so pleased. "Come, we're going to talk about the tavern, the former Prince King Alarin at the Port of Stars."
"What? Amanda! What did you say? Where did Shara learn that name? What did you say?"
"I didn't say anything more. I just said we're looking for someone and that you need to rest, but Shara felt the need to wake you. There's food if you want to eat it, but I think we should all rest right now."
"Are you crazy? Do you know what information is worth?"
When she says, "Are you crazy?" I'm like,
"We all need to rest, and if it makes you feel comfortable, we can take turns staying awake. But I think you desperately need to sleep."
"I don't think I would trust you keeping watch over my unconscious body, since you clearly cannot be trusted to even stay silent."
"Calm down."
If I may interject here, I actually know Alarin. We're old friends."
"Oh, of course you are, yes. And I'm old friends with the Queen. What was her face?"
"You're old friends with Queen What's Her Face? Why didn't you tell me? I love famous people."
"Shara, I was being sarcastic to make a point. I don't know the Queen."
As you say that, you see Andromach becomes visibly sad as you mention the Queen.
I want to do an insight.
Sure.
I'm now actually paying attention to this person.
Finally!
But it's still a disadvantage, so, you know, I wouldn't have high hopes. That's an unnatural one.
She looks very sad when you mention the Queen. It's, I don't know why, but she is just, she went from a normal face to a like...
"I think it's because you are being sarcastic. That's what I'm thinking. I still don't know what sarcastic is, but I'm going to turn to you and say, Daphne, it's incredibly mean of you to be sarcastic. Look how sad Andromach is now."
"Oh yes, yes, that looks very sincere. Oh no, so sad. So sad."
"It's okay, Andromach. You see, she knows how sad you are."
"It's a damn shame what happened to Aurelia."
"Who's Aurelia?"
I'm going to gesture towards Andromach the same. Please tell us more. What actually did happen? And I'm going to give a very direct stare at Daphne, like, shut the fudge up.
I'm going to use our thieves' cant moves again to be like, she knows something, and then just intently watch Andromach.
Can I roll an insight just on the thieves' cant?
I don't even know if Amanda knows what it says.
No, neither one can. You just see Daphne doing some weird. Like, yes, you can quickly. You can do an insight check.
Quick fail.
She's obviously distressed to the point of using hand signs that nobody understands to express those feelings.
I'm going to get off my chair and I'm going to go over to Daphne's leg because she's super tall, and I'm just going to hug her leg very comfortingly and go there. It's okay. We're all sad now in the room.
Just kind of slowly push it away.
Okay, guys, I'm going to call it here for the day. So thank you, everybody, for joining us in chat. Guys, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been amazing having everybody there. And we hope you enjoyed the session. Keep in touch. Have a look at our socials. Give us a like and a subscribe and a rate and a review. We always appreciate that. And guys, have an amazing week. Stay safe. And always be doing things that makes it an adventure.